Hello and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. My name is Lee Younger. I'm one of the pastors here, and this is a message I gave on Easter Sunday morning, March 31st, 2024, from the Gospel of John in chapter 21. All right, happy Easter, everybody. Man, we made it. Okay, if you want to follow along with me today, I'm going to be in the Gospel of John in chapter 21. Oh, good. I've got these. All right. When I was a kid, I grew up in church, and many of you probably that did grow up in church, you heard a certain song sung that it was like a repeat song. Somebody starts it, and then everybody else follows along. So we're going to try it right now, okay? You guys ready for this? Yeah. You've already done some great singing today. So it goes like this. This is the day, that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. And be glad in it. Hey, great job. You guys remember this song from when you were little? Okay, so my whole life, that song comes from Psalm 118, okay? Psalm 118. And my whole life, I thought that what the message of that song was, you know, every day when you wake up, this is a new day that the Lord has made. So you should just rejoice and be glad in it. And that is beautiful. That is true. That's a wonderful message. That's not what that psalm is saying. And I didn't realize that until this week. I was reading Psalm 118. And if you go back a couple of verses before that thing of this is the day that the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. It says in Psalm 118 that the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. There was a day when the people who were supposed to be building the kingdom of God rejected the cornerstone. And God has now raised him up from the dead and made him the cornerstone that they rejected. Amen? Amen. The day that he raised Jesus from the dead and made him the cornerstone is the day that the Lord has made. It is marvelous in our eyes. Let us rejoice and be glad in that day. The day that the builders rejected this stone. And the most beautiful, amazing heart that had ever beaten in all of the history of humanity went silent and didn't beat because somehow the author of life let himself die. And all Friday night, and Saturday morning, and all day on Saturday, all night on Saturday, must have been the worst Sabbath that any of those people had ever known in their entire lives. All those people who had been following Jesus all night on Saturday, and then early on Sunday morning at a certain point, that heart, the most beautiful, amazing heart that now lay silent in a tomb, all of a sudden, boom, boom, it started beating. Like a kick drum, boom, boom. Like a kick drum to start off a song that was going to change the rest of eternity. And that heart pumped blood into his lungs, and the kick drum added a cymbal crash as he breathed in and into his brain and into his hands, into his feet. And Jesus was back, never to die again. Amen? Amen. He was back, more real than the ground we're standing on, more real than the cloth that they wrapped him up in. He just went right through it. People tried to close doors. He went right through the doors. He just started apparating all over the place, just showing up, hanging out with Mary Magdalene and then with Peter and then with a couple of disciples coming back from Emmaus and then are going to Emmaus and then with all of his disciples. And then he just started showing up and hanging out with people. About a week or so, or a little over a week after he rose from the dead, Jesus had told his guys, I want you to go up to Galilee. So they had gone back up north to Galilee. I'll meet you up there. And they decided to go fishing. Peter said, I'm going to go out, go fishing. So they got in the old boats and they go out. And as was, you know, their tradition, they fished all night and caught nothing. And it's like about to be sunrise, right? And they're out on the water. They're, just to give you an idea, they were about a football field's length away from shore. And they hear this voice. They see a little campfire out on shore, and they hear this voice. And the voice says, hey, friends, did you catch anything? And they're like, No, thanks for that. No, we didn't catch anything. And he's like, why don't you throw your net on the other side of the boat? And they're like, wait a second, I've heard that before. And as soon as the net hit the water, the fish hit the net. And they were like, and John said, it's him. It's the Lord. And Peter is like, he loses his mind. He freaks out. He throws his coat on for some reason, jumps out of the boat, and just starts swimming to shore as fast as he can. It's like, I got to get to Jesus. And so they get to the shore. They bring the fish onto the shore. Jesus has already been cooking breakfast. He's already got fish on a little grill. Okay, so he's already made them breakfast. And they had some like fish tacos together or something, I guess. And then, you know, when you have a real big breakfast, a real big meal, sometimes you just want to get up, leave the house, and walk it off. Okay, so Jesus and Peter, they leave the little breakfast, and they're going to walk it off. And this is from John chapter 21. Okay. Verse 15 says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. By the way, sometimes people will say, Jesus asked Peter three times if he loved him because, you know, Peter had denied Jesus three times on the night that he was arrested and while he was in trial. And that is not what's happening right here. They were not making up after that little slip up, because Jesus had already met with Peter several times. He met with him right after he met with Mary Magdalene. They had a private encounter. We don't know what the conversation was like because we were not invited to that private conversation, but they had already had tears and hugs and everything. That's why Peter swam so fast to the shore. Do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. This is verse 18. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following him. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus didn't say he wouldn't die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know this, that his testimony is true. And this is a really beautiful verse. This ends the Gospel of John. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. For those of you who are new, all year long since January, we have looked at every instance in the Gospels and the four accounts of the life and the ministry and death of Jesus, where Jesus said to someone, follow me. And we've talked all about what does it mean to follow Jesus? What is he saying when he wants to interrupt your life and have you follow him? How are you supposed to see the world differently? How are you supposed to make him the boss of your life? How are you supposed to give access to every part of who you are to him? We've looked at a lot of these things. This is the last one. We made it. This is the last time that Jesus said this to anybody in the Gospels. And what's very interesting about this one is Jesus was saying this to somebody who was comparing himself to somebody else. So I have a question for everybody, and this is a participation question. Do any of you guys struggle with comparing your life to anybody else's? Good. We don't want to have anybody lying in church, okay? So on Easter Sunday of all times. Yeah. You ever look around at somebody else's life and you're like, I wish I had that. You ever look around at somebody's life and just feel like, man, they have no idea how hard I have it. Do you ever look around at somebody's life and it makes you feel like you are worthless? because you're not as good as so-and-so, or you're not as whatever as that person. Another question, does anybody struggle with just the opinions of others over yourself? Like, you worry about and think about what other people think of you? Okay, good. We're going to get into all that. That wasn't as loud right there. Okay, so I guess y'all have that figured out. I don't have that figured out, and I desperately want to learn how to grow in that. And so that's what we're going to get into this morning. I think I've discovered a little bit of a secret on how you can grow and not comparing your life to anybody else's, and how you can worry a whole lot less, maybe not at all, what anybody else thinks of you. Does that sound interesting to anybody? Okay. Jesus said, I want you to not worry about what I'm going to do with that dude, and I want you to follow me. Part of what it means to follow Jesus is you don't worry about anybody else. You only get one story, yours. You don't get access to anybody else's. Okay, well, how am I going to grow in this? I can't just flip that off like a light switch. So what am I going to do? Okay, here's my secret that I have discovered. And actually, I've stolen it from Tom like 1,000 times. Don't worry about it. But anyway, here's the secret. Whenever you find yourself comparing your life to somebody else's, feeling that you're better or you're worse, or you're wondering what they think of you, I want you to do this. I want you to preach the message of the good news of Jesus to yourself all over again. That's the secret. Whenever you find yourself comparing your life to somebody else's, feeling like you're better or you're worse, or wondering and worrying about what anybody thinks about you, I want you to preach the message of the good news of Jesus to yourself all over again. And somebody might think, well, hold on a second. I thought the message of the good news of Jesus is just that thing you hear at the beginning. That's like, that's how you come into the whole kingdom of God. Like, that's how you become a believer in Jesus, right? Yes, it is. And, you know, if there's anybody in this room that maybe you have never kind of settled that issue in your own heart, or maybe you don't remember what the good news of the message of Jesus is, they gave me a microphone, so you're about to hear it. So if you need to settle it for yourself today, this would be a great time to do it. Okay, here it is. You ready? This is the message of the good news of Jesus. God loves you so much. God loves you so much. But bless your heart, you have made a wreck out of your life. So have I, by the way. I'm not just going to point the finger at you. You hand me the keys to my life for me to drive it, I'm going to take it right into a ditch. I'm going to wrap it around a tree. That's what I have done with my own life when I was running the thing. Anybody got an amen for that? God loves you so much, but bless your heart, you have made a mess out of your life. All of us, every single one of us, we have not been the people that we were intended to be. We have said things, we have thought things, we have done things that are selfish and petty and jealous and unkind and messed up and warped and mean. And this world is a wreck because of it. Every single person who has ever lived, except one, has made an absolute disaster out of their own life and heart and mind and psyche and relationships and all the rest of it. We cannot stand before a holy God. We do not deserve to have a relationship with him. We can't make relationships work on our own. We're not good at it. We've made a mess out of our life. But that's not where our story ends. The rest of the message of the good news of Jesus is God has sent his son to become a human being. Jesus, who has always existed, and he was just born in Bethlehem as one of us. Almighty God the Son, who lived a perfect life, and he taught beautiful things, and he worked amazing miracles, but he didn't come here just to teach things or work amazing miracles. He came here to give his life and his blood for us to pay a debt that we could never pay back. That's why Jesus came. And that's why he went to the cross, to pay my unpayable debt. And he's offering as a free gift to whoever wants it. You can say yes to the offer of Jesus, and this is what you get. You get all of your sins, past, present, and future, forgiven in an instant. God declares you as righteous as Jesus Christ himself for the rest of all time, even though you haven't done anything to earn that. God becomes your dad for the rest of eternity. He walks with you through your life. You're never alone. He helps you. He teaches you. He walks alongside you. And then when you close your eyes on this world, you will be with Jesus face to face forever and ever. That's a pretty good deal. That's a pretty good deal. That's the message of Jesus. Yeah, so that's the message of the good news of Jesus. And that's what somebody needs to believe, if they've never believed it, to come to know God. And if you've never settled that or believed it, you don't have to come up here and have an altar call. You don't have to raise your hand. We're not going to write your name down anywhere or anything or embarrass you or anything like that. But right now, you could, in the depths of your heart, you could say to Jesus, I want to be forgiven. I want to start over. I want you to be my dad. I want God to walk me through my life. And when I leave this world, I want to see you face to face. You could say that in your heart right now, and it's all yours, completely for free. You don't have to promise to do better. You don't have to clean up any of your old messes. You just get it for free. That's a good deal, man. It's a good deal. So if you've never done it, you could do it now. Okay, but here's what I told you, is if you struggle with the way that, you know, thinking about what do people think about me or comparing your life to somebody, I'm better, I'm worse, whatever, what you need to do is that same thing. You need to preach the message of the good news of Jesus to yourself all over again. By the way, you know why you struggle with comparing yourself to people so much, and the reason that you sometimes feel better than people and sometimes worse, and the reason that sometimes you're obsessed with what are people thinking about me? You want to know why? Because you live in a world that is absolutely obsessed with keeping score. Absolutely obsessed with keeping score. Who makes the most money? Who runs the fastest? Who lifts the most weights? Who has the best car? Whose kids have the best grades? Whatever the thing is. Okay, you live in a culture and in a world that is obsessed with keeping score. By the way, the disciples were no different. Like, there was a time where James and John, two of the 12 disciples, they were brothers. Their mom went to Jesus and they were like, hey, Jesus, can we have a conversation? When you come into your glorious kingdom, can my two boys sit at the right and left hand of you on your glorious throne? And Jesus is like, hold on. And so they had a little chat about it. But the other disciples, the other 10, were furious with James and John and their mother. And they're like, how dare you? And you know what they were really mad about? They're like, why didn't I think of that? On the night that Jesus was betrayed, his last supper with his guys, Jesus comes in the room. They're not sitting there thinking, Lord, we cannot wait to hear the wisdom that you are going to impart on us tonight. We know that this is a big night. We are so excited to share this Passover with you. No, he walked in the room and they were arguing about which one of them was the greatest of the 12 disciples. Way to go, guys. Not only that, when John, like way at the end of his life, was writing the Gospel of John and he was giving the account of the greatest day in human history, when Jesus rose from the dead, he could not help himself, but he had to tell us three times and three ways that he was faster than Peter. If you haven't read it, you should read it. He says in John chapter 20, three times, he's like, I outran him, I'm faster than him, by the way, he's slower than me. Like in the Holy Scriptures. These guys are obsessed with keeping score. Our whole world is obsessed with keeping score. No wonder you struggle with it. But if you want to grow in it, the thing you need to do is continue to preach the message of the good news of Jesus to yourself. Why? Because if life is a race, the message of the good news of Jesus told me, I already lost. I already lost. God loves me, but I have made a mess out of my life. If life was a race, I already lost that race. I lost badly, by the way. I'm not better than anybody else. And when I am worried about what anybody else is doing, if I'm better than them or worse than them or what they think of me, I need to start here. The message of the good news of Jesus reminds me, if life was a race, I already lost that race. I lost it bad. But don't stop there. Keep preaching the rest of the message of the good news of Jesus to yourself. Because if life is a race, yes, I already lost it. But the good news of Jesus says, if life was a race, and if the race was about being loved, I have won more than anybody in the history of the world has ever won anything. I am more loved. I am more important to the most amazing and beautiful heart that has ever beat. I cannot imagine how important I am to him, how precious I am to him, how treasured and cherished I am to the most incredible and beautiful heart that has ever beat. If life was a race, I lost it. I'm not better than anybody. But I also won the jackpot. You know what else I won? I will never be alone through anything I go through for the rest of my life. Not one time will my heart ever beat again where I am alone as it beats. And when it finally stops beating, I'm going to open my eyes. And as we like to say, I'm going to be face to face. Right? That's the good news of Jesus. And the more I believe that, the more I tell myself that, and the more I believe it, and the more it sinks down into my heart and goes into my mind, the more I don't care what you think about me. And I don't care what you have that I don't have, because I have it all. I have God himself as my dad. I will never pay for any of my mess ups ever. I am going straight home to heaven as soon as this raggedy old heart stops beating. And no one can do anything about it. I've won it all. I don't need to compare myself to anybody. I'm not better than anybody anyway, but I'm more loved than anybody has a right to be. When you feel this thing, preach the gospel. Preach the message of Jesus to yourself all over again. You don't need to compare to anybody else. You are incomparable to the most beautiful and amazing heart that has ever beat. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this morning. And thank you so much that your heart started beating and you walked out of that grave. And because of it, you're alive and you'll never be dead ever again. And because of that, I'll never be alone. And I don't have to worry about what anybody thinks about me. And I don't have to worry about anybody else's story but my own. And I thank you that as I walk through this story, I know that I'm loved. I know I'll never be alone. And I know I'm going home to you. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I try.